Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Chaplain Q. Haley. I will be preaching from Psalm 22 today, remembering as a way forward. Throughout both the Bible and history, we can read about the destruction and devastation that each generation has faced. Whether you are looking at Genesis or studying Native Americans who were first on U.S. soil, you can find oppression, tragedy, hardship, and shame. You can find the issues that plagued our history and shaped our worldviews, or shaped our prejudices. We can find the rise of white supremacy, the hatred and the mistreatment of the poor, and the disregard for morality. It has, however, not all been negative or detrimental. There have also been advancements that have shaped and shifted our landscapes, changed mindsets, and overthrown ignorance. We are blessed to find moments of triumph and joy. Some of us who were fortunate enough to still have grandparents or great-grandparents, or to have spent time with them before they left this earth, we may have borne witness to some of the histories of the world through them. Maybe you have heard some stories from back in their day that you carry with you. Ones that creep up into your soul in your hour of pain. Maybe it's a hymn or a saying. Or if it was not a grandparent, maybe you found someone who was an elder that shared stories with you, or who you engaged in an act of remembering. Our current history is being shaped by the peril of the last 756 days, or 2 years and 23 months since the start of the first lockdown ordered by then Governor Cuomo. The entirety of our landscape has shifted. We have witnessed the election of a new president and a new mayor, along with the installation of a new governor. We witnessed the election of a first black woman vice president and the confirmation of the first black woman Supreme Court justice after a grueling evaluation process, more inhumane than any other justice has had to face. Although there have been many historic and beautiful moments, many Americans have been gripped by the realities of grief, illness, and poverty. We can walk around this neighborhood alone and see the adverse effects of people's mental health from this lingering pandemic. And now, New York is in the midst of its own rising affliction of crimes taking place within our subway system and our streets. Whatever your emotional response to the events that occurred less than 2 miles from here on Tuesday, however you're feeling about that moment, that morning, they are more than valid. And I would be remiss to say that if anyone is in need of support and care, please seek professional help. If you're not comfortable with that, I would be glad to be an accountability partner to you in finding help in processing Tuesday or any of the grief that we've experienced. You all are my family after all. The reality is that the state of this world feels heavy. We are watching inflation reach some of the highest levels we have seen since 1981. Food prices have soared while the quality of the products have tanked. We are living in a time where limitation and frustration can creep into our spirits without a moment's notice. Many of the people I speak with in the hospitals, laments are about their lives and their ailments or sickness remains an afterthought. In the midst of suffering, there are moments of healing. In the midst of pain, we find the strength. But as we look around this world, as we look at the history of this nation and at our current events, it can be easy to arrive at a "My God, why hast thou forsaken me" moment. even in between remembering the good moments that have kept us or the lessons that we were taught by our elders. Where is the hope in all of this for the believer? Where do we feel safe when a teenage dispute in the Atlantic Mall on Wednesday afternoon turns to gun violence? What does it mean for those of us who have emptied out ourselves the last 37 days of Lent, only to come face with violence on our highest holy week? I believe this is where we land in our text. It's a song said to be sung by David during a time of great persecution, during a time of humiliation, loneliness, and shame. David had been previously appointed by a leader, by King Saul, and the anointing of God was on David. And this anointing created jealousy within Saul. David spent years running from Saul. He also experienced wars, uprisings, and abandonment from those closest to him. It is no wonder that he cried out in despair to God in the first verse of Psalms 22. Our text can also be seen as a lamentation for the people of Israel, who spent years being scattered, confused, and crying out, similarly to the state of our world today. Lastly, our text is often interpreted as a prophecy for the reason that we are gathered in this service today, and that is the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew 27:46, Jesus cries, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I know that many of us knows what it feels like to be forsaken or to feel deserted and abandoned. I don't have to ask you to raise your hands if you have found yourself doing laps throughout your home, or if you have ever had moments where your floorboards or neighbors can tell where you are at emotionally due to your pacing. I'm sure if I were to take a poll, almost everyone would resonate with, at one point or another, being gripped by fear or overwhelmed with sorrow or loneliness. In the historical context of Psalms 22, many scholars debate about what is occurring. But there are some things that are for certain for us as a people reading it today. The text shows us that there is the ability to praise within the midst of our lament, especially when feeling abandoned, confused, alone, or in the words of our text, forsaken, feeling that absence of God. I imagine the psalmist lying down on the ground or whatever surface they had during that period, and then jumping up with a tear-soaked face, screaming at God about being mocked and scorned and not finding any rest. But when he gets to verse 3, he quickly remembers that God is holy. He provides his own answer to how he knows God is holy. "And you, our ancestors, trusted. To you they cried and were saved. And you they trusted and were not put to shame." The psalmist had a moment of remembering. Does this moment resonate with you at all? Can you recall a time where you were so frustrated that you could not hear, feel, nor find God? So much so that you thought about giving up because everything was completely overwhelming. I imagine this was the sentiment of Christ on the cross. Even as he was walking in his mission, walking in his calling, he was on the cross in an indescribable pain, taking on the burdens that were not his, taking on the sins of this world so that we did not have to suffer his same fate, so that we could go on to be with God. And yet he still cried out to God, knowing that he would be saved, and he already was the Savior for us. It's okay to lament. In the text, we also see that we were not alone in our suffering. We have the lessons that our ancestors have taught us, Christ being one of those ancestors, David being another. David names his ancestors in the text, and Christ used the words of his ancestral lineage that is connected to David while on the cross. They were both persecuted and shamed for their belief and witness for God. But not only are our ancestors our examples, we have each other. We are here in this community of believers. We have loved ones and friends, even in our moments of loneliness and despair. When all of your friends and family are gone, the sheer fact that we can cry out to God serves as a reminder that we are not alone. It is in our remembering that we can find small reminders that we are not alone. Lastly, in our remembering, we sometimes have to survey or look back and recall our devastation to move forward. There is healing in our lament, in our ability to move our trials and tribulations through our body by thinking about them and finding a way to release them. After verse 21 of our text, there's a tonal shift. Some believe that this is because Christ's acts of sacrifice had been complete and the praise could begin. Other scholars attribute this tonal shift to David finding peace after airing out his transgressions and his pain. From the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all of you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but he heard when I cried to him. God heard Christ when he cried out to him on the cross, just as God heard the laments of David and the people of Israel. God sent his only son, Christ, so that even when our world is turned completely upside down and inside out, we can remember. We can remember that there is nothing new under the sun. We can remember that our ancestors prayed and were heard. We can know that we are not alone. We can look back at our difficulties. And we can remember our crucified Savior who sacrificed all for our sins so that we can find a way forward again. Amen.